I reached out to a guy that I've talked to in this sort of topic area before. His name is Dan Rust. He is the founder and CEO of a company called Frontline Learning, and he wrote a book called Workplace Poker. He does corporate training, but he also has a book called Workplace Poker, and for that, a lot of people know him. I think he's on line seven. Hey, Dan, this is John Williams. How are you?
John, I'm great. Good to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. What is Workplace Poker about?
Well, I wrote the book about a year ago, and it became a bestseller for a brief period of time because essentially it was about how do you manage all of the human dynamics in the workplace, whether you want to call it office politics or whatever you want to call it, how do you manage those relationships in a way that advances your career so you're not one of those people who ends up working hard and developing your talents and giving a lot to the business, but in the end you see other people with careers that pass yours by because they also were hardworking, they also were talented, but they managed to play the game a little more effectively. And I don't mean play the game in a snide, you know, conniving way. I mean in a positive, productive way.
Sure.
We all have to play the game.
Is it different for men than it is for women?
Without a doubt. You know, I would love to say we live in a modern world where there is no difference, but there is no question that women have extra pressures on them, whether it's related to sexual harassment or other issues in regards to expectations of women. There's definitely a difference.
Do you have any insight on the Bill O'Reilly story and the charges against him?
Well, so I'll tell you, I had about a day to think about this, and I've been scratching my head thinking, is there anything positive in Trump's commentary? Is there a lesson learned? Is there something to take out of this? And even 10 minutes ago, I had nothing. I was thinking, man, this it's just dumb. But then while my brain was trying to think of something from 75 million years ago that was extinct and had a basketball team's attachment, I went saber-tooths, no.
Brontosauruses, no.
And then the weirdest thing, I said, oh, wait, one of the lessons here is Trump is actually speaking for a lot of people in that Trump likes Bill O'Reilly. He has a personal relationship with Bill O'Reilly. He thinks he knows Bill O'Reilly. And so when these allegations come out, Trump's instinct is, oh, that can't be true because I know the guy. He's a good guy. And I think that is a dynamic that plays out in a lot of situations where people you know, in the workplace who work with someone who is actually a harasser who's got it, you know, has got someone that he's targeted and is doing some very inappropriate things. When and if there are accusations, we even saw this at Fox News when Gretchen Carlson came out with her accusations. There were a large number of women and men who work at Fox, work with Bill O'Reilly, who came forward quickly to say, oh, no, there's no way. I never saw anything like that. He was always decent and good to me. And I would just hope that people understand that that is oftentimes part of the dynamic of a serial harasser. It's not accidental. I know specific circumstances of men. It's almost always men, not always, but almost always men, who, yes, they target someone for inappropriate sexual harassment, but they also go out of the way to mentor others and other women in a very appropriate, positive, professional way. And I think it may even be a conscious effort to create plausible deniability so that if anything should come up, I've got plenty of people who I know will absolutely stand up for me because I've stood up for them.
Doesn't that sound like Bill Cosby's MO?
Oh, man, you know what? Yes, when you really peel the layers away of what Cosby was doing, there was a strategy. I mean, it was a sociopathic strategy that he employed to make sure that he had layers of protection. You're absolutely right.
But in Bill O'Reilly's case, I mean, you know, we're speaking about him, I think, to be fair, in the abstract, because we don't know if these charges are founded. He said that he paid out these women because he has kids and he doesn't want to drag them through the process, but he's unequivocally, he said, innocent of these charges. They're unfounded. It's kind of amazing to me, though, that with those charges hanging over him and the amount of money it's costing the network, that they would continue to employ him I guess it's just because he makes more money than they're currently having to pay out. He's very popular. Frankly, I like him on TV. I don't like his personal behavior. I'm putting one thing in one lockbox and another in another. I think he's a terrific television performer.
I like him on TV, but $13 million Fox has paid out so far. And in every case, when you get into the details of the particular situations, in every case, there was some type of hard evidence, either an audio recording or there were people who were who actually saw something that occurred, whether it was his abusive behavior, because some of what he was accused of was just pure bullying tactics, where he unloaded on a young line producer in front of a bunch of other people. And so there, but in the absence of that hard evidence, I can imagine there are many other situations related to Bill O'Reilly that'll never see the light of
day.
Well,
you said
purely he said, she said.
Pardon me. Yeah. Well, that's the problem a lot of times, isn't it? In fact, let me pause here. I'll come back. What advice do you have for women? Maybe men, mostly women, when they feel like they're being targeted. What advice do you have for them in the workplace? And if I'm not mistaken, you've worked with the people at News Corp before, so tell me what you saw there. In a minute on WGN. On a phone line, Dan Rust. He is the author of Workplace Poker, somewhat the expert on workplace politics, how to get ahead and succeed. A couple questions for you before I let you go today, Dan. One, did you have any sort of work with that corporation, though, that employs Bill O'Reilly, News Corp, or 21st Century Fox?
Well, interestingly, about a year ago, I was in at the headquarters in New York on the Avenue of the Americas, the News Corp headquarters. I was delivering a presentation to the News Corp Women's Leadership Conference. And Fox News is one of the News Corp companies, along with Wall Street Journal, the New York Post, other media companies. And it was clear at the time, we didn't specifically address sexual harassment. This was before any of the stuff with Gretchen came out or any of the stuff with Roger Ailes came out. But when I met individually with various people and spoke with them afterwards, it was clear to me that there was a distinct subculture within Fox News. I don't know exactly how to describe it, except that they tended to feel a little more they were a little more aggressive. They were a little more driven. It felt like it was a little more of a coliseum. I think Fox News is an environment where you have a lot of strivers. A lot of people want to get that airtime. A lot of people want to move up with Fox News. And there was just this sense of intensity that later on, when I circled back to some people after some of the allegations came out, and I asked them, what are you guys talking about in the workplace? I mean, how is this impacting the culture overall? What was clear to me is that while it certainly had a big impact on the way people acted in the newsroom, in that environment, it was, to a large degree, kept under wraps, under the surface, because everyone wanted to move forward. Everyone was very ambitious, and it wasn't really a good career move to be someone who was sort of naysaying or talking badly about Ailes or the company or anything like that. So even in that environment of intense, aggressive career climbing, I think you found a lot of the reasons that people, even in a typical corporate environment, stay silent.
Yeah, but it's hard to believe that somebody like a Gretchen Carlson or some of these powerful women that we've seen on TV, on Fox News affiliates, on Fox News, it's hard to believe that they would subject themselves to that, that they would put up with that.
But she did. If you read everything carefully, she put up with it for years until her contract wasn't renewed. And I'm not. I'm not blaming or shaming her or judging her, but I think the facts of the situation are very indicative of what oftentimes happens. She put up with it because it was a career choice for her, and then when her contract wasn't renewed, then the allegations came out. And I assuming the allegations were true, then it means that she was playing the game, so to speak, for quite a while.
I have 60 seconds left, literally, Dan, but you told me once that if you go to HR with something like this, you're a female, say, you go to HR. Remember that HR works for the same company that the boss does, and that sometimes that can backfire on you. Is that still your position?
You have to understand that HR does not exist to be your personal advocate or your personal counselor. So when someone lodges a formal complaint, what HR is looking for is specific verifiable evidence. And in the absence of that, they're going to work to protect the rights of both employees and mostly the company. And so, I love HR. I've got a lot of friends in HR. But the folks in HR do not have an obligation to protect your privacy. They, in fact, if you lodge a complaint, in some cases, they have an obligation to reveal who you are. So my point of this is just understand the role they play, and you have to take on the role of protecting yourself. And I always tell anyone who's in a situation like this to reach out to some type of legal counsel, someone who represents you and your interests. And even if then you decide to do nothing, that's fine. But at least you've got clear counsel, and you may eventually, move forward and talk to HR, but you'll do so in a thoughtful way.
Yeah, I've seen people who have done just that, reached out to HR, and almost regretted it because nothing happened, but now the boss was ticked at them.
Yeah.
He knew that she was the one that said something. Now he had hell to pay for it, and now he's mad at you, and now your job and career are even more miserable than they were beforehand. And that's... it's not supposed to be that way. Your book is called Workplace Poker. Dan Rust joins us on occasion. I'm out of time today, Dan, but we'll reach out
to you
again.
Thank you so much, John.
Thanks for your time, sir.
Thanks.